Welcome to Healing Class, House on the Rock Church, Ypsilanti, Michigan. Praise God. All right, we'll start with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for this day, for your love, for your goodness, for everything that you have already provided for us. Thank you for showing us today even more clearly what you have provided in the area of healing, health for us. Lord, we give this time to you. We open our hearts to receive what you're showing us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us into the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Praise God. So we receive this time, Lord. We receive your direction in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. This morning, I want to be sharing something that the Lord opened my eyes on a little bit of a piece of scripture a couple months ago. And it was a scripture that I had read, and it's going to be a very familiar event to you. But I saw something a little different in it. And the title of this message is Be the Healed. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 5. That's going to be our foundational scripture, is in Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, we're going to start over in verse 25. And this is a very familiar event. We've talked about it before in healing school. You've probably read it a number of times. I've gone over through a number of times. And it was just some weeks back that I had a pause and said, oh, I never saw that before quite like that. And that's what's neat about the Word of God. You can go over it, and God shows you something new, and it's like, wow, that's really powerful. So it's been very powerful for me from a healing standpoint, so I wanted to share that with you. So in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5, where he starts, and he said, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Then verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She was healed. Right now, I wanted to cement that right now. She was healed. She touched him. She healed. There's a lot that we can learn about this whole passage, but we're going to move on. I want to just establish that right now. When she touched the hem of his garment, she felt in her body that she was healed. And as we continue on there, in verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now, you notice there, he's talking in the past tense, right? He said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. It was already done. Now, notice what he says next. He says, go in peace and, what's the next two words?
Be healed.
Be healed. He said, go in peace and be healed, but he'd already said your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Back in verse 29, we saw that when she touched the head of the garment, she felt in her body that she was healed. And she was healed. So we already know, he already stated, she was healed. So, but now he says, go your way and be healed of your affliction. So, was she healed?
Mm-hmm.
So why did he say, go and be healed? But be is present tense. He was already a past tense thing. He said, she was already healed. So he said, go in peace. He said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Go and be healed. So we have two things going on. So it just struck me as like, this is different. Why is he saying go and be healed if he already said you are healed? You were healed. You have been healed. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Go and be healed. So I said, Lord, what is this saying? So I did a little study. I wanted to do a study on that phrase, that second thing where he said, go and be healed. And so I went back, I wanted to go back to the Greek. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but fortunately, in this age, we can go to the internet, and there's some nice tools. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Blue Letter Bible. And if it's a really great resource, because you can put a verse in there, and it'll show you the Greek, and it'll tell you the explanations on it. It'll show you the concordance. It'll show you how many times this Greek word was used. It's called the Blue Letter Bible. Blue Letter Bible. You can get it online if you just do a Google search for Blue Letter Bible. It's really a powerful resource, and I've used that from a study standpoint. And it you can put in a scripture. Like I'll put in Mark chapter 5. It'll show me the whole thing, and I'll click on verse 34, and it'll show every Greek word that's used in there. And you can click on it. It'll show you the Strong's Concordance number. It'll give you the definition of the word, how it's used in the Bible, and where it's used in other parts of the Scripture. So it'll do the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, and the Greek, which is the New Testament. So you can find every other occurrence, and then it'll let you look at each of those verses also, so you can do a comparison. Really, really helps out from a study standpoint to, you can do a study quickly and get in depth on it. So I did that verse where it said, go and be healed. And I looked up that word be. And that be in the Greek, let me see if I can pronounce it, is the word isthi. Isthi is the word that they use be for be healed. And what was surprising to me, it's only used 5 times in the whole New Testament, isthi, but which was kind of surprising to me, because we see, if you look in the New Testament, if you read it, the word be in the English side appears hundreds of times in the New Testament. You'll see the word be appear. But so I'm saying, okay, Lord, there's obviously something different going on here with this Greek word that was translated be, and other times there's a different word that gets translated be. So what I found out with that word isthi is, we're going to do just a little bit of grammar. So you can go back to your English grammar stuff. Now, in a sentence, we always have a subject, we always have a verb. So it says, when he said, go be healed, what's the subject in that one?
Healed.
You, it's implied. It's implied subject. See, so that's what they call an imperative or command. So you is the subject. You, be healed. Now, on this word be, there's a root word in the Blue Letter Bible. Will show you also the root word that it comes from, and the root word is aimi, which is translated throughout the New Testament as I am. So it's a state of being. Like we have the same thing in English. We'll have be, but we don't say I be, you be, we be, he be. We don't say it that way. We say, I am, you are, he is, we are. So all those different words are all different forms of be. So the same thing in the Greek, they have that same thing. So the root word, or they might have a different Greek word for I am versus you are versus we are versus he is, different ones like that. They have the same thing. It's just different forms of be. But they all basically answer that same question. If I say, I am, it usually answers the question like, who are you? If I asked you, who are you? You would probably start out with, I am. So it denotes identity. So that particular word be denotes identity. And in that case, it's a it's um, And identity is important, especially today. Has anybody flown in the last 15 years? Yeah. And, you know, it's different than flying 25 years ago. Before you'd be able to walk up to the gate and meet somebody. You could go right through. And if you had a ticket, you'd get right on the plane. But if you're flown in the last 10 years, there's something. You can't get to the gate anymore. There's something that happens before you get there. What happens?
Security.
Security. And what does the first thing they want you to do in security?
Say who you are. Show your identity.
Yeah, show you have to show who you are. You have to show some identity. You have to show an ID, which ID is identity document. So you have to show who you are. There's an identity. And so there's in the same what this word is showing in the Greek, it's really focused on your identity. And just like today, there's a lot that's happening with identity, and we talk about identity theft, and people have identity confusion. They're confused about who they are, and so identity becomes a big issue. But in this way, this word was used here, we're talking about an identity. Now, if we look back at that, and if we're talking about identity, and like I mentioned, that this is only used five times. This form of be in this particular case, where it says be, you be, that type of thing, as opposed to other times, like let's say for example, also in the book of Mark in the first chapter, there's an event that's recorded about when the leper came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and he said, I am willing. Be clean. Now, the be in that sense is actually, if you look it up in there, it's actually combined with in the Greek word, it's just part of clean. So Jesus was commanding cleanness into the leper's body. And that was a command to cleanness, be in this body, as opposed to what we regard with here, go and be healed. That wasn't a command speaking healing into her body. It was a command of, it was a statement of what her identity was. And that's a difference there. She was already healed. She had received healing. It already stated that she had felt in her body that she was whole and she was healed. And he already said, your faith has healed you. Now go and be healed. Go and be healed. The same way, if I could use an analogy, I'm an American, right? I think you probably all in here are Americans. And I was born an American. Now, we have people in the congregation here that were not born Americans. They became American. Oh, yeah, Maria. All right, so you became an American. So there was a time that you weren't, and you went through a process to become an American. So at that point, you became an American. So it's like if we wanted to use a similar analogy, like you said, we could say, okay, the process of going through to become an American made you an American. Now, go be an American. Now, if I said, now go be an American, is there something else you have to do now to be the American?
No.
No, you're, yes, right. You are an American. That's now your identity. You became an American. American is now your identity. But you could still say in that same time, well, go be an American now. Because there are certain rights, there are certain privileges, there are certain responsibilities that are tied up with that. It's now part of your identity. Go be an American. It's not something that you have now to do in order to get, but it's now something, an identity that you now walk in. Now you are an American, so now you can go be an American because that's who you are. Now that's really, I think, what he was the harmony that I started to see in this verse of scripture, and how to harmonize that when he told her, your faith has healed you. Now go be healed. He said, now go in that identity of the one who is healed. Now go be the healed. Now, Why would he say that to her, do you suppose?
Because Gail. She never saw herself as in that position of that identity. She was always the sick one.
She was the sick one. We already read in there, she was 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years with an issue of blood. 12 years going to doctors. And it said she went to many doctors. It wasn't like I went to a couple. She went to many doctors. And she spent all she had. And she grew no better. She only grew worse. So what do we call a sickness that doctors, medical, can't cure?
Terminal.
Incurable. Right? It's incurable. She couldn't be healed from the doctors. She only grew worse. So here, what was her identity?
Incurable.
Terminal. Sick. 12 years of that. And now she received healing.
But I am not healed.
Well, let's see. We'll get to that. Because there's... We'll get to that, actually. We'll get to that, Maria. Because he's telling her, and why in this situation, he's telling her about you received your healing, go and be healed. That's who you are. That's who you are now. Now, why? And that, so he, we said why she would say that, because her background, her identity up to this point had been one who was sick, one who was terminal sick, one who was incurably sick, one who the doctors could not do anything for. So that's what her identity was. And now he was changing. Jesus was letting her know she has a new identity. She has a new identity because of what she received from him.
Yeah, but it does its mom.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Do you have a question? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I still cannot walk alone,
mm-hmm.
Sunder, without having something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. So there may be a process between the time that you receive, but we go back to, okay, what does God's word say? What did Jesus do in every situation when someone came for healing?
He just said, be healed. And
be healed.
Believe it.
Be healed, believe it, receive it. So this is all the process that also is far on the receiving side. It's not God that's withholding. He paid, and he said, this is your new identity. This is your identity. So now we want to focus on the receiving side of it.
Okay,
so we'll go into more of that too. Mm-hmm. That's a good question, because one of the things that will challenge our identity are symptoms. All right, that's one of the things. And like when we talk about, if we go back to the woman with the issue of blood, if we say, why was he telling her to go and be healed? Because it's something going forward that she's going to need to know that identity. She's going to need to know, not that it was an event that happened in the past. Hey, I was healed back then. She needs to know more than that. Has anybody here had a time when you felt in your body that you were healed? You received healing and you felt in your body that you were healed. Okay? So you had received healing. Now, have there been a time when symptoms from what you received healing from came back? Mm-hmm. Symptoms came back. Now you have to deal with something. Now, symptoms are telling you something contrary to what you received. And that's why I think what Jesus was telling the woman here was, you have to see yourself as the healed. You have to have that identity as the healed. So when he said, your faith has made you well, your faith has healed you, then he said, now go and be healed. Because there will be challenges to it. There will be challenges. So it's like if healing was just an event, then, okay, that happened at this time. Okay, now if a symptom comes, now I have to go and get that healing again. I have to go get this healing. I have to go get this healing. Whereas when Jesus was saying, that's who you are. That's who you are.
Yeah, but Jesus was holy.
Well, Jesus, but what Jesus said that we'll do the same works that he does. He said believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah. See, that's where there's some, and that's where it's like focusing your mind on what he said.
Yeah.
Because there's some, there's when we go into that, and everybody goes through that, because there's always symptoms that'll try to speak something different than what the Word of God said.
Yeah.
And so there's always, see, the enemy is going to try to come and steal your identity.
Yeah.
Identity theft is really big today. People steal people's identities. And it's a big problem. And it's the same with us. The enemy is going to try to come and steal your identity because he'll...
Yeah, but I don't want him.
That's right. So that'll be... And that's exactly right. And now let's look at a situation, because we're not alone on this. If we want to look at an example of somebody who can give us some direction on that, we'd look to Jesus. So I want you to go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Yeah, let's go to Matthew in chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, it starts out with Satan tempting Jesus. And we're going to start off with chapter 1. And it said, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So his first temptation, and actually there's the two temptations he uses, the tempter comes and says the same thing. If you be the Son of God. All right. It's dealing with Jesus' identity. Now, what happened? Now, we're going to go back because chapter 4 was put in there by a man. I mean, somebody wrote a chapter and verse on that. If we just go back and we're from verse 3, back three verses, we'll go back to verse 17, the last verse of chapter 3. And this is when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan by John, and the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descending like a dove came and light on him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then immediately after that, Jesus went into that. So what was the last thing that he heard from God prior to this?
Who he was.
Now, that wasn't the first time, I mean, that Jesus got the revelation of who he was. All right, that wasn't like, because we know from the book of Luke that when he was 12 years old, he was in Jerusalem, and he was there when his parents left. They came back, and they said, hey, we're looking for you. He said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? So he already had a revelation of his identity even back as 12. So this was 18 years later, and so this was really more of a confirmation of what he already knew. But it was the God the Father speaking his identity at that point, announcing, this is my beloved Son. So he heard these words. He goes into the wilderness, fasts for 40 days, a tempter comes. If you are the Son of God, all right? He's challenging his identity. If you are, then do this. If you are, then let's get back, you know, put you back into the natural. If you are, then what about this? Now, would it have been wrong to turn stones into bread? But to do it to prove that he was would express a doubt. Well, let me do this so that I can prove who I am. If you are, then do this. Wait a minute, I am. I don't have to do that to prove. I am that because God says I am. I am who God says I am. And so when Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, your faith made you well. Your faith healed you. Now go be healed. You are the healed. Go be healed.
That's right.
Well, that's where the Bible talks about patience.
Yeah.
and it talks about standing. In Ephesians, Paul said, having done all to stand, stand.
Yeah.
And there's a time when you say you're not seeing, you're seeing something different than contrary to what the Word says. And so you have to deal with that because that's an attack on who you are. That's an attack of what the Word says. That's an attack of who your what your identity is. So we're going back to, okay, what is the identity? And our identity is what God said. So when there's something that contrary that comes up that speaks against what the Word of God says about who you are, then you would go back to what it says. Like if somebody came up and said, Maria, you're not an American.
Well, I am.
Well, you have, see? Now you notice that response? Now you notice that response. No, I am.
Yeah.
Right, somebody's going to say, no, your accent, no.
Well, that's too bad.
That's too bad. That's exactly right.
So Satan's telling you you're not healed. What
see?
Did you tell him?
Say no.
But
you notice how you responded with that.
Yeah.
It was like, no, I am. It was very determined because you knew who you were. No, I am. I went through this process. I did. I swore I did everything I needed to do. I am. And see,
yeah.
And so it's the same, but see, it's that same resistance. Just like, this is the way you responded there was, no, I am. It was almost like an indignation, like, no. If somebody tells me I'm not an American, no, I am. It's like, put your foot down. I am.
Yeah.
I am because it's contrary to what who you know you are. It's contrary to your identity.
Yeah.
Somebody can't steal that. Now, if you would have said, well, maybe I'm not.
No, I am.
Yeah, see? Exactly. But you know who you are.
Yeah.
You know you're an American. So somebody can't talk you out of that.
Some,
they can't because you're...
Because it is true.
It is true, and you know it to be true.
Yeah.
And if somebody came along and said, well, I think the paper wasn't right. I think it was this.
Shut
I think
up.
That. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's the attitude. See, now that is the attitude.
Yes.
That's the attitude. But just the way that you came up with saying, no, that is wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong. It's the same thing that that woman with the issue of blood would have to do if a symptom came back. It's the same thing. Because he said, no, it wasn't like, oh, Jesus healed me, but now I'm feeling some symptoms again. I know it did, but now I'm getting these symptoms again. It's like, no, now be. Go in that identity of the one who is healed. Have that identity. Russ.
So if you're dealing with something you're believing you have, but it has not visibly disappeared, what you're really involved in, whether you realize it or not, is an identity struggle.
Yep.
You're trying to impose your belief in God's word that you are the healed of the Lord over whatever symptoms.
Well, you're reinforcing who you are based on what the word says.
But it is an identity issue, really.
Well, it's you want to be you don't want that identity taken from you. You like
right.
That's stolen from you, or you don't want to compromise that identity, who you really are. It's just like in the case of Maria with, she's that. Whether some symptoms came up and said, or whether something came up and said, well, maybe you're not. You'd say, no. It is true. I am. I am, and I'm not going to be talked out of that. Same with, let's say that we don't know anything about the woman with the issue of blood, but based on other things that we have in our own experience or, knowing that, hey, symptoms can come back. Symptoms can knock on the door and say, am I really? And say, you're not healed. And you can say, no, you're not healed. Look at this.
I am.
Yeah, look at this. Yeah. And so take same thing.
Amen.
Say, look at this. Don't look at what God says about your identity. Look at this symptom, but look over here. But look over here. But look over here. So you end up in a situation where's my focus going to be? Where am I going to be? What is my identity? And that's really where your anchor point is. Then is what is my that's your starting point. And if you know who you are, if you know what has already been provided, then at that point, if somebody told you you were not American, you'd resist them.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Shut up. I'm resisting.
Yeah.
And that's basically what different times Jesus told the devil.
He said it,
well, they translated it as be quiet and come out, but basically it's shut up and get out.
Yeah.
You just be silenced.
So
be
I
quiet.
Have to keep on saying
it. Well, you what you have the advantage of here, Maria, is that you have the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah.
You have the Holy Spirit, and He can direct you what you need to say. But there are times that that righteous indignation says, no, I'm not receiving anything less.
Yeah.
I'm the healed.
Yeah. So I'm even here. If it doesn't show, you still have to say it.
Well, if it doesn't show, yeah, you go back to what, well, what's God say? You remind yourself of what God said.
Yeah.
You go back to what did He say?
Yeah.
What did He say about this? And then you say, okay, Jesus took my infirmities.
Yeah. Yeah.
He bore my sicknesses. Yeah. Then you can start thanking Him. Yeah. You can start thanking Him because of who you are, what you are. Say, if you're probably thankful to be an American.
Yeah, I am.
I'm thankful to be American. So in the same way, if you recognize that your identity is healing, you can be thankful for being healing. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I have to keep on saying that.
Well, you have to resist the devil, however the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can guide you and direct you.
Yeah.
So you have an advantage to be able to talk to him.
I tried it, and then I felt that I can't do it. I'm gonna fall, you know.
God. What's neat is what's great is God meets you where you are.
Yeah.
And He will show you the next step. Okay. What do I do now? What do I do now? It's not like when we said before, when we used the term when we said okay, meet. When we were using the analogy of being an American, and we said okay. You went through the process, now you're American, now go be an American. There's nothing else you have to do to be an American. So it's not the same way, okay, what do I have to do from now on? What do I have to do? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do this? There are certain things.
Just to believe.
You can be directed about what is the next step.
Yeah.
God will show you the next step.
Yeah.
He will direct you in the next step.
Yeah, and then not just do it.
Not do it to get. Not do it to make, not do it to do it. God will direct you based on what your identity is, who He is. But what's neat, and I'd like to pray with you afterwards.
Thank you.
I'd like to pray with you afterwards because we want to go into more of that identity, seeing who you are, seeing who you are.
Yeah. All right. But Pastor Jim, don't you think too that if it's not fully established in your heart, that speaking it will fully establish it
yes.
in your heart?
So yeah.
To say, I am healed, doesn't negate what that you are healed, but it's establishing it in your heart and
right.
in your mind that you are
but
the
then
healed.
You feel you're lying.
You don't go by feelings, though. That's where you have to go by faith.
Okay. Well, let's say you suppose that you didn't feel like an American for some reason.
No, I am.
You are.
Yeah.
But if you wake up and I don't feel like an American, well, does it change your identity? No. You still are an American.
Yeah, even if I talk different, maybe.
Yeah, but even,
still.
You're still an American. So, but you would still say, I'm an American.
Yeah.
Like, it may not have been, even when you became an American, the feelings might not have changed.
No.
You might like, okay, I didn't feel anything different.
No, it's just say, they said, now you are American. Now
you're not an American, and you believe that, and they said, now you're an American. I'm an American.
Yeah, and it will never change.
And it will never change. And it's similar.
Yeah.
To healing, when you accept that identity as I'm the healed, you can say, I'm the healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed. I am healed.
Yeah, amen.
I am healed. Yeah. And so you can say that with the confidence of that's what your identity is.
Yeah.
Now, even if a symptom tells you something different, or if you're not seeing things in the physical that correspond with that, you can still say that because that's your identity.
Yeah.
That's who you are. That's a good point, though, because speaking is you're speaking who you really are. You're speaking in line with God's word. You notice how Jesus responded to the enemy when he...
Get away.
Yeah, in this one, he told him, it is written.
Yeah.
It is written. So his response to the identity thief was to go back to the word of God. His response to that was somebody was trying to come in and tell him, okay, change that identity that you had, is what the Word of God says. In the Okay, so the woman with the issue of blood, she had a contact point she could go back to. He said, your faith has made you well. Go and be healed. Go and be the healed. Go and be, have that identity of healing. Have the identity of the one who is healed. Walk in that identity, that new identity that you have. When you receive the Lord, when you receive that, you received a new identity.
But then it doesn't show right away.
That's, it may not have shown right away that you were an American.
No, I am.
But you are.
Yeah.
But not everything showed right away that you were.
No.
But you were.
Yeah.
You still are. So in spite of what things show or look like, what is the truth? Just like the enemy came back, well, if we learned at it differently, well, if you were the healed, then you wouldn't be dot, dot, dot. Well, then you wouldn't dot, dot, dot. If you were the healed, dot, dot, dot. We would respond the same way as Jesus did. What?
It is written
what?
I am the healed.
I am the healed.
By his stripes.
By his stripes. I am healed.
Amen.
So we're going to respond the same way Jesus did when he was attacked in the area of his identity. When the identity thief was trying to take his identity, he responded with, it is written.
Okay, yeah, another value to speaking, like Gail mentioned, is also drowning the thoughts of our mm-hmm. mind, because the battle is in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear yourself, when you speak audibly and you hear yourself say, it has a way of drowning
yep.
the negative mm-hmm. or the opposing mm-hmm. thoughts in your mind.
Yes, that's
so
a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And an analogy about that she's not seeing it or feeling it is, when you get pregnant and you have that pregnancy test, you know you're pregnant, but you don't show right away.
Yes.
So there is a process.
Yes.
There can be a process.
Instantaneous.
But you know it's done, but sometimes it takes a while to produce that effect or that manifestation, that showing.
Yep. Before you see it. Those are good points, yeah, because you are reinforcing the truth.
Yep,
you're reinforcing the truth. You're standing, you're declaring what you already are. You're declaring that this is in spite of what others might not see.
But then you feel that you're lying.
Well, but it kind of depends on what your final place is. Is your final truth what God said or what your feelings are?
No, what God says.
What God says. See, what God says is true.
Yeah.
So that is the truth. So you're declaring what the truth is.
Yeah.
So when you're speaking, you're like Ifoma said, the enemy will, there's other thoughts that'll come in.
Yeah.
And your feelings will tell you one thing. So you're either going to speak in agreement with what your feelings or circumstances say, or you can speak in agreement with God said.
Yeah.
And so if you're speaking with in agreement with God said, you're speaking the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. Pat.
Maria, your body is lying, not you. Your body's trying to lie to you.
Yeah.
The symptoms are lying, not you.
Yeah, so the symptoms are what's lying. This is good.
Pastor Jim,
this is good.
I said once, too, that faith stands and feelings follow. So even if you aren't feeling it, or even
that's
if
good.
You feel like you're not, what you're speaking out is against what your body's saying, if you stand in faith and you keep standing, your feelings will eventually change and follow your faith.
That's good.
Russ?
What I remind myself of when I'm having those moments of discussion is that while it may appear to be a fact in our worldly realm, I know God's truth has the power to change any fact. A fact is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
His truth stands.
Mm-hmm. These are good. Yeah.
The feelings are a result of what we're thinking. So as we renew our mind and get it to line up with what the Word says, then we cast down those incorrect or wrong thoughts that lead to those feelings, Maria. So renewing our mind helps to release what's already in your spirit, the truth that you're healed, it can get past and manifest into your body.
Praise God. So good. Reggie.
I don't want to interrupt, but before you're done, can I share a short testimony that I think relates to this?
All right, if it fits.
If I can do it right now?
Yeah, go down.
I was sort of hoping that you'd ask at the start if there was testimonies, because I was feeling compelled to tell this one. But this happened probably about 3 weeks ago. I took my daughter to her dance class, and then there's a haircut, Great Clips, next door, and I stopped and got a haircut. And the gal giving me the haircut, she was telling me about how she spent the day, you know, trying to get medicine because she has medical bill. Her medicine costs $2,000 a month. She doesn't have insurance and all this stuff. And she would get insurance in October, but she didn't have any now. But anyway, it struck me how it was basically costing her everything she had, much like the woman with the blood. And then, so I'm sitting there listening, and I was thinking, well, you know, I should pray for her. I never really know how to start that sort of conversation, but then I asked her what it was, and she said it was her pancreas, right? And the curious thing is, when I was taking my daughter to dance class, we were listening to the Christian radio station, and that particular day, the people were giving testimonies, and one of them was the woman called, and she said her daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and she was miraculously healed. And then as the hairdresser woman continued to talk, she says, yeah, now I have to go in and get a test for cancer because my white blood cells are too high. And I'm thinking, okay, so clearly I'm here for a reason, and there's no confusion as to how to start this conversation. So I just told her, I said, this is so interesting that you said this, because on the way here, the radio station we were listening to, a woman called in and talked about her daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and she was healed of it. And so I said, I'm just going to say in the name, because the hairdresser says she has pancreatitis, so I just said, in the name of Jesus, pancreas be healed, pancreatitis be gone. And, you know, I didn't want to develop it into a sermon or anything, so I was just sort of watching her. And she sort of stands for a moment. She says, you know, I believe that. And then as I watched her, she stopped. And I could see something was changing. She was putting her, you could see in her demeanor something was changing inside her. Something was being healed. So when she said, I believe that, that's, I could see it happening. So
yeah, awesome.
I've stopped back last week and asked her how her testing went, you know, but she says she hasn't done that yet. She says, but I've been feeling great. So
a change happened.
But it was much like that woman of blood. It was everything she had, and she just, once she believed, there it was. So.
Yep. And so it was a setup, a divine connection.
That was the other thing about it too. What amazed me, or what gave me such satisfaction is, you know, the rest of the evening is like, God used me, you know.
She said,
I got Reggie there. I'm going to send him there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I felt very honored that God.
Yeah. He said you could follow through. Yeah. Praise God.
So, chill. I mean, what we've been learning is that Jesus is in us.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have the authority.
Amen.
And so what you did is you took the authority and you spoke against it. Amen. That's all it takes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Jesus is alive.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thanks, Reggie. Yeah, that did. It fit right in what we were talking about with the woman with the issue of the blood. And we are at 10:15. It went by so fast. So we're going to close with a prayer. Could I have the prayer ministers come on up? And Lord, thanks so much for reinforcing what you say about our identity, that we are the healed. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, our faith makes us healed. But you said, go and be the healed. And as being the healed, we also minister that same healing to others. Mm-hmm. That we have that ability to walk in divine health because we're the healed. We have the ability to share that healing with others because of what you've imparted in us. It's you in us.
If I cannot get up.
Lord, thanks so much. We sure do appreciate you. And so we thank you. We receive what you've provided in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You're dismissed.